You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, little Greta told me, down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box, out on the flare out. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight. I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I kinda like a bit, and I don't.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Todd Dutro of Master Bait and Tackle, rolling into the final hour of Real Talk Radio on this fine Saturday morning. We're getting a ton of text messages that are coming through here, and I have really slacked off on reading some of these. I promise I will get to these in the 9 o'clock hour. I can definitely tell you Art the Bills fan has been out catching some fish. He has texted us a picture of a peacock bass, a Mayan cichlid, a walking catfish, and he said that's the San Carlos Park fishing report, and he's been a big fan of Master Bait and Tackle for 30 years. He says they are the best. And he's glad there haven't been church protests in a long time.
That makes two of us. That makes two of us.
So like I said, we'll get to more of those text messages after we hear Steve's report. I'm going to head over to line one and grab Steve here so we can hear the tournament and event rundown. Good morning, Captain Steve.
Good morning, Captain Debbie. Good morning, Todd. How are we all doing?
Good, Steve. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
Awesome.
Doing
you
good.
Guys were talking, Dave was talking a little bit about cleaning rods and reels. The only one little thing I wanted to add was consider buying Real Magic. I don't know, Todd, you carried it at the shop?
We don't have Real Magic. We carry the pen, Real Grease, and the Real Oil, but not Real Magic. So talk to me about that.
Yes, I 100% agree with you on that, Steve.
Yeah, it's funny. Years and years ago, I won a gift certificate from a shop, and I went in there and didn't know what to buy. And the guy says, try this Real Magic. And I've since then, probably the last 15 years, I use the aerosol. It comes in a couple of different types, but the aerosol, I kind of bunch my rods together after they're wiped down and dried, and I just mist them with this Real Magic, and it puts a sheen across them and actually protects them the next time you take them out. And it really, really works well on it and protects that reel, protects the rod, protects the guides. It does a lot for them, and it's not that expensive. And, you know, you put a good investment in this equipment, and mm-hmm. I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, it's made by TTI Blakemore. And also, when you spray your reels, and if you, you know, obviously you're going to get a little bit when you're spraying your reels on your fishing line, it actually improves your casting distance, too. So
it's
just a great product. And we actually had somebody just sent in a text. Gabe Kaplan's agent just sent in a text asking about using WD-40 for your reels, which I would advise against.
Nope.
Yeah, but get some Real Magic. I mean, WD-40 is actually a degreaser, so that's right. Going to break down a lot of the oils that you need to have in your reels. So do not use WD-40, please.
We have a lot of folks bring in reels where you can smell the WD-40 that they tried to do.
Oh,
and I you know, we just try to remind them that's essentially removing all of the lube and the grease that was in there, protecting
in
it,
there.
Right? Because it's water-based, so it kind of takes everything away. So.
Yep.
Now,
bad news.
Cap Steve, does that sheen protect it from ceiling fans and car doors? Because I think I'm asking for a friend. That seems to be my biggest issue.
It's not quite that strong.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We can hope.
So, yep, we can only hope.
So. I don't know. If you figure that one out, let me know.
Yeah, that's for sure. We got a lot of stuff going on tournament-wise. Next month, things are really getting fired up in September here locally in Southwest Florida. We've got on September the 10th, we've got Fish Like Mad. That tournament's out of Fort Myers Beach area. We've got also on the 10th, we've got the Sportsman Calusa Inshore Benefit. That's happening in Cape Coral. Then we have on the 10th as well the LCEC tournament, LCEC United Way tournament, and that's in Matt Lachey. And Flats Masters has their number 4 series event, and that's in the Punta Gorda area. On the 17th of September, we've got the 3rd annual Fish for a Truck Safety tournament, and that's in Cape Coral. And we also have on the 17th, 13th annual Burt's Redfish Challenge, always a great tournament. And on the 23rd, we have the Florida Farmers Invitational Tournament. That happens out of Cabbage Key area down in the Pineland area. And we also have on the 24th, we have Romp in the Swamp down in the Naples area. So a bunch going on in September. October is also jam-packed, and we're going to run through that real quick. In October on the 1st, we've got Flashmasters has their championship starting on the 1st and the 2nd. And then on the 1st also, we have the Southwest Florida Association of Environmental Professionals. This is their inaugural fishing tournament, and this is in Fort Myers. So this is the first one that they've put together. I'm not super familiar with this group, the Environmental Professionals Inaugural, but it sounds like something they're going to try to put together and run all the time. CCA has put their Fundament Tournament together. This will be happening on October the 7th, and we will be able to provide that at the Cape Coral Yacht Basin again this year, since they haven't been able to get their permits and start work there. So they're looking forward to that. On the 8th, we have the 4th Annual Southwest Fall Open in Naples. And also on the 8th, we have the B103.9 Racks and Reels Tournament. That Racks and Reels Tournament's been going on for a long time. And the tournament this year is going to be out of Captiva, out of Tween Waters. So it should be an awesome event, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the future.
Yep.
On the 15th, we've got the T-Rex One Last Cast Tournament out of Marco Island. On the 22nd, we've got the Cast for Kids Tournament in Punta Gorda. We also have on the 22nd Emma's Hope Annual Fishing Tournament in Fort Myers. And we also have the 5th Annual Hook 'em in the Glades in Everglades City on the 22nd. And on the 22nd, we also have the Cabbage Key Open out at Cabbage Key area. So tons of stuff happening locally in September and October. Every week has got several tournaments going on. Up in the Central West area, a little bit north of us, we've got a few things going on. On the 20th, coming up this August, we've got the 9th Annual Hooked Up for Tatas Tournament. That's in Crystal River. And on the 27th, we have the Poonfecta in Safety Harbor up there in the Tampa area. Also, Central West area, we've got on the 10th of September, we've got the Titan the Drag Foundation. This is the 10th anniversary Fall Inshore Slam, and that's in Clearwater. And the 10th annual Santa Fe Lady Raider Inshore Slam Tournament. And I believe that's a high school, I think it's softball girls that put that together. And also on the 15th, we have the CCA Gainesville Banquet happening in that area. Over on the East Coast, we've got a few things going on. We've got this month, we have on the 25th, we have the 9th annual Chase and Tails fishing tournament out of Jupiter. And next month in September, we've got on the 10th, we've got Kids Can Fish to Pier Clinic, and that's Daytona Beach. On the 24th, we've got the 16th annual Anglers for a Cure in St. Augustine. And also on the 24th, the 9th annual Lines in the Lagoon from at Vero Beach. So quite a few things happening there. Down the Keys, got a couple of things going on down the Keys area. This month we've got, it's next month. On the 9th of September, the Florida Keys Lionfish Derby. That's always a big draw. It's kind of a derby festival area that's happening in Alamorada. And also on the 9th, we have the Robert James Celebrity Slam Tournament in Key West. On the 16th, we've got the Herman Lucerne Memorial Backwater Fishing Championship in Alamorada. And on the 22nd, we've got Take Stock in Children Backcountry Challenge, and that's in Key Largo. And we also have on the 22nd the Marathon International Bonefish Bonefish Tournament in the Marathon area. So quite a few things going on. Things are going to really start getting fired up. This month has always been kind of slow, but September, October, the tournaments get cranked up. If you are looking for more information, go to fish-fuller.com. Just click on your tournament. Should have phone numbers, contact information, their websites, anything you need. If you can't find it, give me a call, shoot me an email. If you've got a tournament that you don't see up there that I've missed, please let me know, and I would be glad to put it up there for you.
Steve, you are awesome. Thank you so much for the update. That is so appreciated. And we will catch up with you for sure next Saturday morning to get the latest and greatest.
Sounds great.
All right. Have a great weekend, Steve. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
See you, Debbie. See you, Todd.
See you, Steve.
Bye-bye. That is Captain Steve Johnson calling in with fish-florida.com. All right, I'm going to run through some of these text messages here that have been accumulating a little bit here over the past couple of hours. So Jerry Toporek, our good friend with the Project Healing Waters Fish with the Hero program here in Southwest Florida, was checking in, saying, good morning, Captain Debbie and Todd. Jerry Toporek here. Higgins Lake, Houghton Lake, Sandbar, Lake Erie, Metro Park, Bluegill, South Bass Island, Yellow-Bellied Perch, dip netting for smelt under a full moon. Sounds like he has definitely got some great Michigan fishing memories that he's sharing there. And he says, go Blue! Thank you, Jerry, for chiming in. And then we got a text message from This Is a Test. He was checking in saying, I'm not sure if the text line works for Real Talk Radio. Yes, it does, because your text message did come through. He says, if so, good morning. I came into the conversation late and you had a guest on and something happened to him. I didn't catch it, but you were talking about his business. So this is a test. You're going to have to go back and listen to the podcast when it comes out on Monday to get all caught up. But yes, we are live on air with Todd Dutro of Master Bait and Tackle. So hopefully you've becoming up to speed over the past hour or so here since we came back on air. And then we got a text from the good doctor saying, good morning, Debbie. I'm in Key West today going fishing on a charter boat. Well, get after him, good doctor. Good luck to you. And then our good friend Gator Tom texting in, checking in, saying he's listening. He's counting down the minutes until
literally giving us a minute by minute countdown.
So. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we got a text from Harry Carey this morning. He's checking in saying, hey, Captain Deb.
Hey, Deb.
We're taking the boys deep sea fishing this morning. And I just wanted to say hello. Have a great weekend. Cubs win. Yes, they do, Harry Carey. Gotta love it, being from Chicago, for sure. That's awesome. That is awesome. So, Todd, let's get back into our conversation here. So, what do you think, now that you have been running a business here in the Southwest Florida fishing community for the past year, what do you think that we can be doing as a community to make the sport more welcoming to people of different races, backgrounds, cultures, or do you think we're doing a pretty good job of that already?
You know, that's a great question. I think growing up, watching the fishing shows that were available, right? The Roland Martins and you only kind of saw one type of person on those shows.
Yep.
And so whether you're of a different race or you're a woman in the sport, I know that, you know, my wife, she was like, you know, I never really had any female role models to look up to. But I think especially in the past 2 or 3 years, I believe her name is it Chasten Nation or what
she, Chasten Whitfield. Yeah she's been on the show, actually.
Has she?
She's a fantastic role model for women out
she's
there.
She's incredible. So, yeah. I mean, when my daughter starts to come to an age where she's looking for someone, I mean, it's great that there are now outlets where she can see other women kicking butt
100%.
Out there, right? And showing them that, hey, this isn't just a male-dominated thing, or, right, it's not weird that I like fishing and, you know, I like getting my hands dirty working on an outboard engine. So I think that's really special. And, you know, in my shop, you know, with we have a lot of diversity walk through our doors, right, every single day. So I think, at least from what I see, fishing is extremely diverse down in our area. Do I think that we're doing enough on a mainstream scale to offer more opportunities? I'm not sure. But I do know, just from my point of view, it seems like there's a lot more families and a lot more folks getting out on the water and creating new memories with their kids than I had been used to seeing when I was growing up. So, I mean,
right.
It's a step in the right direction, but I mean, I'm not sure we can ever really do enough, right, to get it out there, but I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we were talking a little bit offline earlier about the fact that you are really catering to a lot of the beginning anglers. You're catering to a lot of tourists. You're catering to a lot of people who don't have experience here fishing here in Southwest Florida. So the ability to make them feel like no question is a silly question, the ability to make them feel comfortable walking in and obtaining the knowledge is key. I mean, that's huge, because if somebody feels like, oh, I walked into the shop and I felt like I didn't belong there, or I wasn't welcome, or I asked a question and somebody made me feel like an idiot, you know, they're not going to be back. So making people feel like, hey, listen, you know, we all started somewhere and we all had to build our knowledge over the course of years, and we all were beginners at one point in our life. So making people feel welcome and just comfortable to ask those questions.
Yeah. And I use the analogy with my guys. I only drink Bud Light. And when I walk into a craft brewery, when I'm in North Carolina or in Colorado, I feel like some of the novice fishermen that don't even know what a snook is when I walk into a craft brewery and say, what the heck do I order? And I do feel stupid sometimes, right? When the guy behind the desk is like, we don't sell Bud Light here. And it's just, I put it into perspective when someone comes in to our shop, they almost seem like they need to justify why they're coming in and that they've never fished in salt water before. And we try to very quickly tell them that they're the vast majority of folks that we see on a daily basis, and that's fine. And not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think there is value in these small bait shops like ourselves, that when you go into a Bass Pro Shop or a Sunshine Ace Hardware that has huge square footage and there's a lot of different options and there's, you know, 6,000 different rods and 450 different reels ranging from $2,000 to $100. Well, which one's the right one for you? And do I ask someone or do I just keep walking around hoping to find what I think I should use? Mm-hmm. When you walk into our shop or any small tackle shop, you're 5 feet away from the person at the front desk. And you're immediately interacting with us. We can tell you what we think would be best suited for you based on where you're fishing, how often you're going to fish, what waters you're fishing, and what your budget is. And I do think it's really helpful to go and visit those local tackle shops, whether it's a fly fishing shop in Michigan or, you know, a live bait shop in Southwest Florida. And I mean, one shop that I know does a great job of that is EFC, the Everglades Fishing Company. Although they are a huge shop, right, and offer way more tackle than we do, I know that when I walked in, they were extremely personable and they will help you navigate. The Everglades is a huge fishery, right? And you can get lost down there.
Oh, absolutely.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's taking the time to help folks that aren't familiar with the waters or how to fish them, set them up for success with either the most effective baits or just keep it simple, stupid, right? And just try to give them the opportunity to catch, you know, the most fish in the easiest way.
Yeah. All right. Well, and that's getting to, you know, some of these smaller businesses that are able to offer you the one-on-one time and really go through a lot of the specifics with you that maybe you wouldn't have the opportunity, the knowledge that you wouldn't have the opportunity to gain if you're going into a bigger store.
Sure.
Where it's busier and there's just maybe not as many people to get around and help. I mean, that's key. And you're getting a lot of useful information when you walk into a shop like Master Bait and Tackle, but now,
just ask us. We think it's real useful.
Well, but because I was just about to say, Debbie, I mean, I kind of enough with this like fishing talk. Okay, can we just get on with
it? I know it's time. Sorry, Gator Tom.
I'm tired of you.
We're a few minutes behind.
You are useless.
Useless. And now, from the world's ultimate book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information.
Are you ready for this, Todd?
I guess.
Oh, he's been ready for
it. And this is the Insects Aside Edition.
Oh, no. Insects?
Insects Aside Edition.
Sometimes these are kind of gross. Mm. Todd, just warning you.
And we're going to start off with the fact that the mayfly lives only 6 hours, but its eggs take anywhere from 10 days to many months to hatch. So if you ask any freshwater fly angler about mayfly hatches, and they'll tell you about dry fly fishing for trout in most cases.
Sure.
So yeah, mayflies are very important to the fly fishing community.
So their lifespan is 6 hours?
Yeah, the adult mayfly. So they live, I believe, and I'm not an entomologist, but I believe, sorry, I believe they live as nymphs under the water for a longer period of time. But when they emerge and turn into an adult mayfly, they only live for a matter of hours.
So once they're out of the water, they're planning their funeral.
Yeah, basically that's it. That's it. That's exactly it. Sure. All right. And then let's follow that up with number two. Moths hear through the hairs on their bodies. The results of a recent study completed by the University of Bristol in the United Kingdom suggests that furry moth thoraxes, which I guess the thorax is like the
main
midsection
of an insect body. Correct.
Are very good at absorbing sound, so they trap up to 85% of the sound energy that was pinged in their direction. And I guess the reason for this is because it helps to protect the moth from predation by bats.
There's a lot of ways to make a living in this world, isn't there? You know, whether it's selling shrimp or figuring out how moths hear through their furry bodies.
I mean, runs the range.
That's what I was thinking, like, who financed that study?
That's right.
You know, we want to find out how moths hear.
That's right.
Can you give us some money? Oh, well, that's important.
No problem.
Here you go. Sure.
It'll be 8 months.
Yeah, that's it. All right, and here we go. Last but not least, spiders do not get caught in their own webs because they only touch the webs with the tips of their feet, which have a non-stick coating.
Wow.
So what is that? Like the arachnid version of Teflon?
Pam?
Or what? Like how does that work?
Like Pam spray on the bottom?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
There you go.
See, but I never even wondered why spiders don't get caught in their own web. So, you know, that is really useless information.
You never pondered that thought,
I never
Rick?
Did.
Come
nope.
on.
I never did. Not once.
You don't care about the well-being of the spiders that are in your garage. That's terrible.
I'm so insensitive.
Rick, I'm ashamed. Oh, my goodness. All right. And now it is time for
Free food.
We are going to be giving away a $25 gift card to the ninth caller to the Twisted Fork in Port Charlotte, which is located in Burt's Black Widow Harley-Davidson dealership, featuring burgers, pizza, beer, and drink specials.
Mm.
So to the ninth caller, you want to go ahead and call now, 239-337-3776. And in the meantime, we are going to head off to a break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Real Talk Radio online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Todd Dutro, owner of Master Bait and Tackle in Bonita Springs, and we are rolling into the last half hour of Real Talk Radio. Can you believe it, Todd?
It's gone by fast.
It's gone by so fast.
Gone by fast. I had some great breakfast sandwiches, some good fishing reports, and some useless insect information.
There you go.
We're knocking it out.
We got it all on this program.
We're covering all the bases.
Really, hey, congratulations to Art, not Art the Bills fan, but a different Art. Art in Cape Coral was a caller 9, so he's got himself that $25 gift card to the Twisted Fork in Port Charlotte. Proud to have them on board as one of our sponsors. And thanks for listening, Art. Enjoy your free fade.
Enjoy, Art. Congratulations. That's fantastic. We got a couple more text messages coming through here. We got a text from Jabba Da Butt. He says, good morning, Captain Deb. I feel it's important to tell the listening community to make sure they are going out with licensed guides. There are a lot of people out there that are taking money from the experienced guides and causing issues due to lack of training. Yes, that is a very good point, Jabba Da Butt. Always make sure that if you are booking a saltwater charter, that you are going out with a U.S. Coast Guard licensed guide. And that you should ask. Most captains and guides will have it on their website. They'll have it on their business card. From the freshwater perspective, you are not required by law to have your captain's license. However, I do, and I feel like it is a really good idea for anyone who's going to be taking clients out on the water to have that license. Absolutely. Whether it's, I mean, saltwater, you have to, but for freshwater, to have first aid and CPR and just know all the rules of the road and rules of navigation is really, really important. So, yes, make sure you check that. Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up, Jabba Da Butt. And then, let's see, we got a text from Chef Greg. He says he just got a new shoulder. He'll be setting off all the alarms in the airport now. Of course, everyone wants to go fishing. Rehab's going great, but can't chunk and wind all day. Cleaning all my gear over and over. Still bass fishing a bit, but not much. It's driving me crazy. Did a real rookie mistake when cleaning my reels. Went down to my secret spot. Was throwing a frog, a big one, came out of the water, went to set the hook, and someone forgot to set the drag. Oh, no, Chef Greg. Oh, no.
We've all been there.
Yeah, it's happened. It's happened. So I have to say probably one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever had happen when I've been out fishing happened to me this past week.
Do tell.
Totally embarrassing. Thankfully, one of my clients was like a longtime sweetheart of a client who I absolutely have a blast fishing with. But, you know, so like as a fishing guide, like Greg and I don't go out and buy super expensive fishing clothes to wear because we're on the water. You're like getting dirty. You're sweaty as anything. So I had these pair, you know, this one pair of fishing pants for probably about 5 years. Might have been time to retire them. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And I'm out there on the water. We're catching a bunch of peacock bass. We get ready to come in. I turn around to go, like, lift my trolling motor out of the water and turn, you know, start up the engine. And we get back to the dock. And my client says to me, Debbie, I don't really know how to tell you this, but you have a huge rip in the back of your pants. And I literally put my hand in back of my fishing pants, mm-hmm. and there was a tear from my waist all the way down to the crotch. So it was like pretty much a full moon going on there.
Well it's hot out here. So, I mean, it was serving a dual purpose to give you some breeze back there, too. So that's, yeah.
There wasn't really any breeze that day, though. Yeah. And I'm going to go with it happened when I turned around to lift the trolling motor up out of the water.
Fishing wardrobe malfunction.
It was definitely a fishing wardrobe malfunction. And thankfully, it happened at the end of the trip.
Sure.
And thankfully, my client told me because there was like this posse of like utility workers was right next to the boat ramp.
Right.
So I would have like tied up my boat. I would have pranced right up the dock and went to get my trailer. Totally clueless.
Then you just went into the 1990s fashion where you take your shirt and you wrap it around your waist.
I meant to do that. Yeah, well, that's what I had to do. Thankfully, right? I had my rain jacket and I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, this is just part of it.
It's
I'm
a quick fix.
Yeah, doing my thing. Yeah, but honestly, I probably turned 15 shades of red at that particular moment.
Understandable.
I was like, Bob, my client, Bob, I was like, Bob, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Literally turning bright red right now. And he's like, nah, you're amongst friends. It's all good. But yeah. So that was my story of the week.
I recently did a pretty rookie move. We were anchored up fishing a wreck. And like it does happen so often, hung up on the bottom when my lead got in the current. And
yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll give it some time and I'll try to get it out in a second. I put the rod in a rod holder. There were 4 to 5 foot swells out there. So I gave my line no slack when I put it in the rod holder on that upswell. The line didn't have anywhere to go. Grabbed my Spinfisher 5500, popped it right out of the rod holder and straight down to the depths. So,
and I
looked over at the guys I was fishing with and I said, I've been hung up on the bottom more times than I'd like to, you know, admit. And I've never made that mistake before. So that was there's a nice shiny Spinfisher 5500 sitting
somewhere
in Davy Jones' locker with a mutton snapper laughing at it down there somewhere. So we all make them.
Things happen.
Yep.
Things happen. And that was definitely, yeah, when I got home and I took a picture of my pants. And of course, like it happened on Wednesday, which was Greg's birthday.
Sure.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm like, hon, I got to run out and, you know, take care of some errands. But I definitely didn't make a stop at home first to change my pants. And here's why.
Right.
And speaking of the devil, he is actually calling on line one right now. So we're going to grab Captain Greg Stamper. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Deb. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Greg.
So you just got to hear me telling my ripped pants story from this past week.
I heard a little bit of it, or the end of it. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, yeah. Not so
more
much
than funny for you that time.
Not so much to me initially.
Greg missed the beginning of it because I was asking him where he gets that delicious maple flavor from and all of his bacon sandwiches. So I was distracting him, you know.
Yeah, well, I know. And that scent permeates throughout our condo on a regular basis.
Yummy.
I would complain, but I can't.
Nope.
Nope.
Well, it's all good. Debbie will do anything to get a better tip, you know.
Oh, come on now. Yeah, right. That was exactly my plan. That was it. So, Greg, give us a report. What's been going on out there the past week? Let's change the subject.
All right. So, subject change. Good. it's been hot, obviously. The theme for another month and a half to come is going to be starting early if you can or getting out there after the storms. We had some good days and we had some tougher days this week. We had some days where we didn't catch a redfish and we had a couple days where we caught several. A lot of small snook around, not a lot of big ones by any means. And the trout fishing's still been pretty good, even in the heat, which is, you know, nice to see. Our water quality is still in good shape. So that's a real positive. You know, the old popping cork with a shrimp under it will get that job done pretty quick. And the cool part is, you know, some of these areas that we're fishing for these trout, we're also running into a lot of pompano. There's still bluefish here and there, which is really weird. But I think they're just here now 24/7. They're not leaving anymore.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've had a lot of sharks this week. So when we did do the cut baits and stuff around the higher tides on the shoreline, we did run into sharks a few times where we got broke off. No, I gotta assume they were sharks. We didn't get to see them. I don't think they were giant reds, but a positive. I did catch two redfish this week that were about 18 or 19 inches, which is the smallest size I've seen in a long, long time. So hopefully we'll start seeing some of those smaller ones. You know, as we get closer to October, those big ones will all move in and be in schools. But I'd like to see us catch some smaller fish so that I know that the future for the next couple of years will be okay.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear that the fishing has still been pretty good, but it is definitely concerning when you think about the fact that we haven't been seeing as many of those smaller reds.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, I mean, we did try tarpon twice this week, and they just weren't – they were grumpy. I don't know.
Moody.
They just had a bad attitude a couple of days that I was in front of them.
Being typical moody tarpon.
Yeah, some days it's like that. Some days you get into them and they're active and they're happy and you can pop a few, throw some of them in the air, grab a couple here and there. And then there's days where after about an hour you go, you know, we should probably go do something else.
Yep, exactly.
hey, Greg, why? I mean, you say that now and it's dawned on me in the last, you know, year or two. I don't think I've caught a redfish under 24 inches and you can go out and catch, you know, 10 snook to 12 to 14 inches anywhere in Wiggins Pass. Why do you think that is the lack of juvenile rat redfish? Because then I'll go up to Sanibel or the Pine Island, and, you know, there's a plentiful amount of rat reds. And then down in our, you know, I say our area, Estero Bay, it just doesn't seem, you're right. Do you have any idea of why that is?
But, you know, you go back to the time frame of when we had our red tide back in 1718, and then you add a couple years to that from there. So say, you know, 18 is about when we finally got decent water where it wasn't red tide anymore. So we lost probably a year and a half of when fish would be able to be juvenile and live in that water. I don't know the growth rate. Perhaps it's, I think, about 3 years, they say, for a redfish to get to about 25 inches.
Sure.
And you got to think that we were missing an entire population or 2 years of population of these tiny, tiny juveniles.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fish, so I've been counting them for 2 years now, how many fish I've caught under 20 inches, and I'm at 7.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about how many giant redfish that I've caught that are 25 up to 33, 34 inches, that's every single other fish I've caught.
Sure.
And we catch a lot of that size.
Yeah.
The problem being, though, is that these fish that are now going to be 32, 33, 34 inches that are in our bay, this is their last year in our bay. They're going to move out now. They're going to go into the big schools of bull reds that move up and down our shorelines, and we're not going to see them except for when they make their little quick visits to come in here into our bays and pound the bait, and they'll be here for a month or a month and a half, and then they're going to go back out into the Gulf, and they travel from who knows where, from all the way up in the Panhandle, probably all the way down to the Keys. I don't know, you know, how far they travel, but those big bull reds, they don't live in our back bays. You know, this is not like the old Mosquito Lagoon where they have 40-pound redfish swimming around. All those fish, you find them, are out in 35, 40 feet of water, and you run into them kind of randomly at times.
Yeah.
The juveniles, you know, they're going to open this thing up. I don't know. You know, maybe next year I'll be wrong. But I think the way it's going to happen, if it continues with this type of if it continues the way it's going, is we're not going to have really very many slots to catch. And all the ones they are going to catch are going to be the upper slot. And there's going to be very few that are going to be between, you know, say 25 and 18 inches.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Greg, we've got to head off to another break, but thanks for calling in with the update and from the report for this past week. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next Saturday. I know you've got new boat coming in, which is exciting stuff, so can't wait to hear about that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that'll be another week or two. I'll have that thing all done and
exciting.
Put together. And then I'll stop by Master Bait and Tackle, pick up one pinfish and six shrimp and go out there.
Yeah, that's all you need.
There you go. All right, Greg. Have a great day. I'll catch up with you later. Okay, tight lines. Bye-bye. That is Captain Greg Stamper with Snook Stamps Charters calling in, and we're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Papa was a fishing man. Papa was a fishing man. Loved his cars and his steel guitars. Papa was a fishing man.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Todd Dutro, the owner of Master Bait and Tackle in Bonita Springs. Rolling into the final 10 minutes of Real Talk Radio. Text line's still open here for a few more minutes, 239-337-3776. We actually got a couple more text messages that came in here. Kudos to John at Sportsman's Wholesale in Bonita Springs. Lots of great advice this week on Florida bass fishing. Good guy. So some shout outs to Sportsman's Wholesale in Bonita Springs. And we've got a video that was sent in by the good doctor. Must be of his fishing trip in Key West. I can't see exactly what it is, but it looks like he's out there on the fish. So way to go, good doctor. Awesome stuff. Glad to hear you're out there on the water. And we are going to head over to line one because we've got Captain John Fetter standing by. Hey, John.
Good morning, Debbie.
How's things going?
Good. How's the best bait and tackle owner in the area doing today?
Too kind, John. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good to hear, man.
What's the word, John? Have you been out there on the water this past week? You've been running some trips? Got a report?
Unfortunately, no. Both my kids are sick.
Oh, no.
And, first week of school in the books, and we haven't been yet. No, I have not been out because my wife has been working, so I have had to take a back seat and stay home with them this week, so...
I hope they get better soon.
You wear many hats, John. World's best dad and fish and charter captain are just two of them. But
you got to do what you got to do. So, but I appreciate it. Yeah. But no, I'll be out this week. Hopefully, hopefully they'll be back in school Monday, and then I got some lined up this week, so I'll be back out there. But I hear the bite's been pretty good. It's just been stifling home as usual for this time of year. So.
Yep, that's August in Florida for you.
Unfortunately, but you know, we like it. That's why we live here, right?
Yeah, if you get out early, and trust me, I'm loving it right now. It's been great for the peacock bass, so no complaints from my end.
That's right. Looks like some happy clients, so you're doing a great job.
Yeah, well, thanks. There's definitely, you know, it's hero to zero. You have those really awesome days, and then some days you got to push through it. Yesterday we were fishing all top water and we had a ton of swirls and blowups, and we got like three or four fish to the boat, but it wasn't like on fire like it's been earlier in the week. It was awesome. So I don't know if it was just those fish were a little bit less active after the full moon, but early in the week was good. Yesterday was definitely a little tougher, but we still got them. So
well, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, right?
That's part of it. It's just part of it. You got to get out there, and you just got to give it your all. So,
yeah, plug away at it.
That's it. Well, thanks for calling in, John.
You're welcome.
It was
great
good to hear.
Show as always.
Hey, John, when you're ready to get back on the water, I hope to see you in there.
You will. Don't worry.
All right, brother. I'll see you soon.
Best place around. So I appreciate all your help.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Hope the girls feel better. You betcha.
Alrighty.
Okay, bye-bye. That is Captain John Fetter with Catching the Cure Charters calling in. Yeah, okay, Todd, so we don't have a whole lot of time, and I still have some questions I wanted to ask you here to wrap up. So tell me a little bit about what you envision for your long-term goal.
So it's a great question, and I think it changes by the week, by the day.
Maybe daily.
Right? And just what I thought I knew or what I thought I was getting into a year ago, it has a much different look today. For us, we just, you know, the business that we see at Masturbate and Tackle, we think that we kind of leverage our risk pretty well with our brand and the clothing and the shirts and the hats, as well as, you know, a great full service bait and tackle shop. But for it, it's just hard for me to think about some of these other tackle shops out there when, you know, water issues, red tide, hurricanes, unforeseen natural disasters that unfortunately sometimes fall upon Florida, how they can survive and do well and continue to push through. And there are so many, you know, incredible bait and tackle shops out there that have, you know, Whitney's and Sanibel or the Yellow Bait Shop in Key Largo, the Saltwater Angler in Key West, right? Just tackle shops that have been there for 50 years and stood the test of time. I would hope that as we move into the future that Masturbate and Tackle as a brand can start to expand, and whether it's, you know, Susie's Bait and Tackle or some mom and pop shops that are, you know, struggling, or folks that want to open a bait shop, mm-hmm. we would love to offer either, you know, licensing our name Masturbate and Tackle to be used in some of these shops to kind of offset the really hard fishing times. I mean, the amount of apparel we sell is pretty significant, and that, you know, doesn't have a death rate unlike live bait.
And speaking of, because people have asked this question of me frequently, and I know you get it,
sure.
I'm sure, a lot more. So what's your bait to shirt sales ratio?
And we probably get that question 5 to 10 times a day, and we have a sign behind our counter that gives our accounting breakout, so I'm not shy about sharing it. But our merchandise is probably 35% of our sales. Bait is about another 30%, and then the tackle makes up the additional 35%. So 65% of our business is bait and tackle. I know this morning alone before 8 a.m. we sold 2,600 shrimp. So you come in the morning between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. and we're a rocking bait and tackle shop. You come in after 12 o'clock, after noon to 6, mm-hmm. we are a pretty thriving apparel and retail store. So it's a really great mix of both. And I could care less whether you buy 6 dozen shrimp or a t-shirt. We appreciate everyone that comes in and gives us their business. And it really warms my heart. I get pictures every day sent to Instagram from customers being in New York City or being in Hawaii or being in Europe. Or we had one
with your shirts and shorts.
We had a guy in Thailand.
Hats.
And he was in the airport in Taiwan. And sent us a picture of a guy in a Master Bait and Tackle shirt. And it's just, it's really special to me to see the last 30 years, you know, what the brand has turned into. And we do hope that there can be not just one, but many Master Bait and Tackles throughout the great state of Florida and offer some laughs at our shirts, as well as some great fishing knowledge and intel to get people out on the water. So,
you know, Todd, it's funny because when Debbie told me last week that you were going to be on this week, I kind of chuckled. I said, I can't tell you how many times I've had visitors and friends and family in from out of town. We've made the little beach run.
Sure.
We're coming up Bonita Beach Run. They're like, wait, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we always have to make a U-turn so they can go back and take a picture with a sign.
Yeah.
You must see a lot of people with cameras out in the parking lot.
If I had $5 for every picture that was taken yeah. and t-shirts not bought, I would have retired by now. The pictures are if you're going to take a picture, come in the shop and talk to us. But I know my wife, Allie, was a special education teacher before we started the bait shop. So I know it's very important to her in the future. We were talking about inclusivity earlier, mm-hmm. but there are some issues when special education students reach the age of 21 or 22 and can no longer go to school, where they are placed and what's next. And we have so many shirts and things that need hung and just the day-to-day tasks in our bait shop that we hope that we can start to offer some positions for those types of students that are looking to fulfill, you know, a career when they get out of school. So that's another big goal for us moving forward too.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, Todd, it was fantastic having you here in the studio. I hope everybody had the opportunity to get to know you a little bit better this morning since you were here on the show. And yeah, thank you for your time. Congratulations on the purchase of the shop, and I wish you much success in the future. I know you're going to be successful.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you all having me on, and I really appreciate being here. And to anyone that believes in the power of prayer, keep the Dolinsky family in your thoughts as you move into the weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick Church, the director of this show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Todd, thanks again for being here this morning. Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday, same place, same time. Have a great weekend. These moments will help.
May you always remember.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.